Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Of course, the PUP payment has played a huge part in what we've gone through over the last kind of 14, 15 months or whatever it's been now at this stage. And this week's Department of Social Welfare Protection has issued weekly payments valued at 84 million per week. And we're worried about a few million, by the way, for public transport. 84 million in 1 week to 285,000 people are in receipt of the pandemic unemployment payment. And this represents a decrease of 24,250 people compared to last week. Of course, the numbers should start to come down as more businesses open and as we open different sectors of the community and different sectors of the work population. And the number of people in receipt of the PUP payment is now at its lowest since December 2020. The figures published today are in addition to the 171,000 who are still on the live register. That's 171,000 people who are unemployed and were unemployed before COVID came along. And you know what? Firstly, I don't know why 171,000 people are unemployed, because there are jobs there now. Now, I'm not saying they're the best jobs in the world. There may be minimum wage jobs, but there are jobs there. There's no reason for you to be on 203 quid on the dole when, you know, there's people looking for work everywhere, as businesses looking for workers everywhere, and they just can't get them. We'll come back to that in a second. But all COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payments issued were paid in recipients' bank accounts or in the post office accounts on Tuesday the 8th of June. Now, the last time you can apply for a payment of PUP is in July. It stops in July. It's being reviewed in September, and they say it will continue to be paid up to February 2022. That's when it'll stop completely. All things going well, and the fact that COVID doesn't change or nothing changes in that kind of dynamic. In other words, we don't start seeing thousands and thousands of cases and lockdowns and all that kind of thing happen again. And let's all keep fingers crossed that that doesn't happen. So, the problem we have at the moment is that businesses have been onto us and calling us saying, we're back open again. Our hotel, our restaurant, whatever it is back open, our gym or whatever. We can't get staff. They don't want to work for us. Why would they want to come work for us when they can get 350 quid for nothing? Staff just don't want to go back to work. And I'm going to have a go. It's particularly young people, I think. Probably between the ages of 18, which is the minimum age you have to be to get PUP payment, and 30 years of age, who would be on the lower paid jobs. Probably working in retail, restaurants, hospitality, or that part of hospitality that's back already. And a lot of them don't want to go back to work because they earned less than what they're actually getting on the PUP payment. So they'll hang out till the end. And it's a problem. So should people, and here's the question, and the government are kind of afraid to say this, because if they do, there'll be an outcry. But should people have to prove they've looked for a job? I mean, if you're on the dole, you have to prove you've looked for a job before you get a payment. Well, not literally, but the whole purpose of the dole is that you have to be available for work, and you must obviously make an effort to get work. And they will check every now and again that you've gone for interviews or sent out CVs. Should it be the same with the PUP payment? Because there are a lot of businesses, sadly, which will never reopen again. And many of those staff are sitting at home on PUP payments. And they will sit there till February, where they should actually be out getting a job. Because there is jobs. There is jobs to be got now. Again, as I say, they're in retail. A lot of them will be low-paid jobs or hospitality, but there's jobs there. So is it time that the government said, well, okay, look, we'll keep the PUP payment going for genuine people who are being affected by the pandemic and are still being affected, their business are still being affected by it. But for those not being affected by it, get back to work or we're taking it off you. Let me know what you think. Should it be, not means tested, but should you have to prove that you've looked for a job before you get the PUP payment at this stage? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. And I do know there's loads of variables involved in this, by the way. But should you have to prove you've looked for a job? Similar to social welfare payments. Some people would disagree and some people might agree. But let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Jim, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Jim?
Happy Friday, Mr. Niall.
Happy Friday, Mr. Jim. Well, Mr. Jim, I'm looking here. Still 285,000 are on the payment. It's a lot of people, considering most sectors are back. Okay, there is a lot of sectors not back yet. I get that, but it's a lot of people still on the payment.
A lot of people on the payment, and a lot of money being handed out. Basically,
84 million a week.
Yeah, it's not thin money. It's not thin money in Ireland. You know, we were over in the West Coast there for a couple of days, and to be honest with you, just talking to people when you're out and about, certainly in the hospitality sector, which is really only back open now, as such, and they had a long sort of hard time of having their doors shut and waiting on the sidelines for things to open. And now you say that not all are open, but a lot are, and they're finding it impossible across the board. A lot of people I spoke to can't get staff.
Nobody wants to take a job.
And nobody wants to tell you. Well, I suppose, the reality of this is that you say if it's someone getting, $350 a week, and then you say you're looking for a job as a barman, as a waiter, maybe pays 500 quid, you probably feel, sure, look, I'm better off just getting the 3.5 and having zero responsibility, and then that's clean money, whatever. A lot of them also, that they're getting this money, and they're not even obviously taking into account that there will be an element of this that has to be repaid back in taxes.
But there's a lot of young people who might have been working, say, in college, working weekends in a sports shop or in a cinema or whatever. And they were before the pandemic, they were making 150 quid a week working. Now they're getting 200 or 300. Why would they want to go back to work? And this is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the government, to be honest with you, the bottom line here stops with the government. And this sort of bottomless pit of money to be handing out left, right and centre. I mean, we talk about supporting, home holiday business or getting the economy back going again. And now we have a great product in this country. I mean, when the weather's nice and sun is shining and things are all the other boxes are ticked. I mean, we've a great product here in this country. Yes, it's been let down by the government here by addressing this situation. And when everything opened up, they should have been saying, well, okay, look, we want people to stay in Ireland at least maybe for this year and see how where they can't go away. With everywhere open, where are we going to get the staff to service this business? And this is what's happening now.
And by the way, I'm not for 1 minute suggesting people who genuinely deserve the PUP payment should not be getting it. Of course they should, absolutely. But I think it's at this point now, when we're seeing a lot of positive shoots and green shoots, and we're seeing the country hopefully getting back to some level of normality again, I think it's time that we start saying, well, okay, let's put a break on this, and we've got to see how we're spending the money, and we've got to be more careful how we spend the money.
Well, of course, yeah, but again, too, there's this sort of, I mean, it's just keep them quiet by throwing the money at them. You see, for example, the off-licences now have never been as busy before. You go outside any pub, most of the time it's a younger crowd, between maybe 18 and 28 or whatever, I suppose, around that thing that are there drinking their pints, getting their takeaways and doing whatever. And that's all that money that's been flittered away.
Okay, well, stay there for a second because I want to go to Graeme as well. Graeme is with a company called PlantUp.ie. Graeme, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. How are you?
Okay, so you're in a growing industry. Well, it's actually a kind of, when I say a growing industry, that's a bit of a pun there. You're in a new industry that's kind of future-proof because it's all about climate action and climate change and all part of the climate plan where you want to introduce more kind of green plants into offices and these kind of living walls of that we see on posters outside for Heineken or whatever it is. So you're in that new industry. Is your business good at the moment?
Listen, we could see it coming for a long time, and we knew we were going to become very, very busy, in the next year or two. And then pandemic hit, and it's been a catalyst. So it's like, double it, triple it. We're just super busy at the moment. There's pent up demand, both commercially and privately, and for spending. And we're ready to go and take the business. We're working this morning since 4 o'clock, trying to get the work done. But ultimately, we need staff. The tree needs roots, and we need staff to provide the service that the clients require.
And what do you do? So I believe you go out to shop the plants that we see in shopping centres, the plants we see in our offices, hanging around. Because look, plants are good; they produce oxygen, they make a better atmosphere in your business, et cetera, et cetera. And it's better for productivity. I believe that's been proved, right? So you go out and maintain those plants. You put the plants in and you maintain them for the offices or for the supermarkets or whatever.
Our industry has got so much bigger. There's so much, there's nowhere that you can't put plants anymore. Vertical planting, seed and roofs, wellness. We all need plants in our lives. And, everybody knows it now, and it's just becoming more and more popular. We're in the industry 30 years. We've never seen anything like this, which is great. It's a great problem to have.
Well, but you've no staff. But if you advertised for staff pre-COVID, right?
Yeah.
If you were to advertise for staff, would you have got staff?
Yeah, we would normally advertise on one of those online companies for
recruitment.
For,
yeah,
for recruitment. Exactly. Sorry, Niall. Recruitment companies, and basically we use the same one all the time. So you know, you can say it's exactly the same as the year before. And normally we get 25 to 50 people per week. Normally, CV-wise.
Yeah.
And we've been advertising on the same company. Now, we've increased the budget. We've spent, you know, invested a lot of money in it. And we now have the sum total in the last 4 months of 3 CVs.
Two chefs. 3 CVs in how many months?
In 4 months.
And how many staff are you looking for?
We're looking for 3 to 4 staff. Two immediately and 2 more very, very soon.
And you can't even get people to apply for the job?
No, not even apply. And like, I mean, we this is an industry that, you know, is, again, as you say, growing. It's a really cool industry to be in.
And there's 171,000 people, leaving aside, by the way, the 285,000 on PUP payments. There's 171,000 people on the dole. And you can't get people to apply for a job.
Not even application, not even for us to consider people and even to add additional training and support to kind of help people that maybe, you know, don't have the full array of qualifications that we require, that we could just, you know, help them along. We can't even do that. We can't even get people to. And I mean, of the 3 CVs, one was a possibility. Can't get them on the phone. Don't even answer their phone. So, like,
well, if they're not going to answer their phones, they're not going to get the job.
It's not multiple phones.
But Jim, there you go. There's an employer looking for staff, looking for 4 people. And are looking for people to hire 2 people immediately and 2 in the future, and he can't even get people to apply for the jobs.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to sort of half
stay there, Greg.
And I spoke to a lad there in Galway, and the same thing. They said he had a job advertised up for the chef daytime work, paying £600 a week. That's been up, I think, since February, and they haven't had one application.
I mean, I do understand there are people out there whose industry or sector hasn't opened yet, and I get that, and they're genuine people. But I think it's time we start looking at this, because we have a responsibility, and the government has always had a responsibility to responsibly spend taxpayers' money. And I don't disagree with the PUP payment before anybody says I do. I don't. I'm all in favour. For example, the aviation industry, the bar industry at the moment are all very badly still affected by this. But certainly in other industries, we should be following up payments that were given out, because all it's doing is stopping people applying for jobs for the likes of Graham and Plant Up and the hoteliers that people you know, Jim, as well.
Yeah, but also, Niall, there's another aspect of this which is really the elephant in the room. Is the amount of people, you say, that are not from here, but are still in receipt of PUP payments, but outside the country, in various parts of the world, and still receiving payment. And
I know. I only spoke to somebody a while ago, and his 2 children, when I say children, they're young adults, they're in college, and they were both on part-time jobs, they're both now on 350 payments, they're living in Spain for the last 8 months.
There you go. You
know, and they're getting their PUP payments, and which is enough for them to rent a small little apartment in Spain, and they're living the life.
Well, exactly.
So why would they want to come home and work in a cinema or a shop?
Yeah, but the €300 clean money in other European countries, or even further afield, you can go to Brazil, Mexico, you can nearly pull any country out of the world, the people that, if they've been here, and are getting that money, and that's not being followed up.
I don't know whether you can get it anywhere. I think you have to be still within the EU to get it from the Irish government. As far as I know, I don't know. I could be wrong. Well, hang on, sorry. Well, let me just go back to Graham. So, Graham, I mean, what are you going to do? So you're getting orders hand over fist. You have people really interested in this business of yours, whereby, you know, people want to get their plants, they want to get them maintained. Businesses are back open again. The pubs will want plants soon as well. So what are you going to do if you don't have enough staff? Work all hours that God gives you.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've no answers at the moment. I mean, we're doing the old Irish thing as well, word of mouth, putting it out between friends, family, you know, people that might have, you know, an interest within the industry. Hopefully, you know, just hoping upon all hopes that at the end of the day, we can only do what we can do. At the moment, we're doing a lot of project work, so we can see down the line what's coming. So a lot of designs are happening and going into, you know, installations in the next few months, and we just need staff. I mean, in the last 2 weeks, I spoke to one guy who has 9 crews of 3 people.
Right.
He said he could do with exactly the same amount of people again. So there's, you know, a huge amount of people for his industry, and he can't get them also. The guy that fitted that erects the scaffolding for us, for some of the green walls, we did a large green wall there recently, 4 stories high. He was actually the owner of the company. He was actually on site, on the job, putting the bars in together. I said, "Oh, are you working today?" And he said, "Yeah, absolutely." He said, "Listen," he said, "we just can't get staff." He said his basic starting pay was $18.50 an hour. for basic labour. Half day and a
well,
Friday.
I'm hoping to get a caller in a second who wants the job, by the way. But what does the job entail? Like, is it a very difficult job or something like that? What does the job actually entail?
There is some knowledge required which we can in-house train. But I mean, basically, there's no schools or courses for our industry, which is another problem that we'll get to some other time.
It's a growing industry, yeah, pardon the pun. And plants, of course, are the future. If the world is all about climate change and producing more oxygen and reducing carbon levels, it's all about, you know, reducing the amount of plants we have, or increasing, should I say, the amount of plants we have.
And it also has a huge impact on wellness within the workplace and, you know, clean air. I mean, the list is endless in relation to how positive plants are. And it's great. It's great to be. I mean, I was over in Denmark about 4 years ago. I was in a hotel, you know, normal 3-star hotel within a industrial park, and I was just fascinated at one of the guys serving the table. You know, speaking 4 or 5 languages, serving all of the tables.
Well, stay there for just for a second, because Ed, you're on. Oh, hold on, Ed. Wait, I just switch you on there, Ed. Hold on, 2 seconds there. 1, 2, 3. Sorry, Ed. You're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Ed?
How you know? Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Now, Ed, you're a pilot.
No, I didn't say a pilot. I work in the aviation.
Oh, you work in aviation, sorry.
Yeah, I lost my job.
Okay, all right, okay. Yeah, and you're looking for a job?
I'm on 350.
Right, okay.
I have a mortgage.
Yeah.
I bills to pay.
Yeah.
Kids going to college.
Yeah.
No fault of my own, job's gone.
Right.
Now, don't lump us all in the
street. No, I'm not lumping you all in. I did say that on numerous occasions today. There are genuine people out there.
There's people on the dole there with lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
Now, we shouldn't be all lumped in the same.
Yeah.
What
hourly rate is he paying, the chap? Well, I don't think I want to discuss that with him. And that's his business and whoever applies to the job to negotiate between them.
I'm looking for a job. I'm on the website every day.
All right, okay.
I'm on the website every day.
And do you live in Dublin?
Yeah, I'm in Dublin, in Glasnevin.
All right, well,
I won't work for €10 an hour.
Well, no, I'll pass your details on to Graham. You can negotiate with him.
Yeah. On the website. What's his company's name?
Plantup.ie. Plantup. Yeah.
Is he there? What's the chap's name?
Graham.
I feel like I'm being interviewed.
I'm walking since the 17th. I'm up every morning at 2 o'clock in the morning for the last 30 years. No bothers.
There you go.
Yeah, well, listen.
This might be of information. What's the early rate?
when do I get my holidays?
I'm at work since 17. I delivered milk when I was 17.
And by the way, can I ask you, Graham? I know 350 is a decent amount of money to get. You know, obviously it covers you just. Now, it's not going to pay all your bills. I get that, okay?
Bills are going through the roof in Ireland.
I know, I can imagine.
All the living's gone through the roof in Ireland.
I know, yeah. And have you tried to get any other jobs? Have you made any other applications?
I've made applications left, right and centre. See these online recruitment agencies?
Yeah. Okay. Don't mention any one in particular now, but I know what you're talking about.
I hate them now.
Right.
What's wrong with knocking up to the door and handing the CV and chatting to the employer?
But there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah, but that's the way it should be.
But the thing about it is, nowadays everything is online, so if you are looking for a job, it's the first place you're probably going to see jobs available.
That chap said he spent a fortune on it.
He did, yeah.
Put an advertisement in the paper.
But those days are gone. You don't put ads. Who puts ads in papers anymore?
I'm looking for a job.
I mean, you're thinking of the small ads years ago. Man with knife and fork wants to meet woman with plate. You know what I mean? That's.
No, what's Chap Neil, is it?
Graham.
Yeah. Young, healthy man looking for work.
Yeah. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 55 now.
Not that it matters, by the way. I'm just saying.
I'm 55, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I'm a Catholic and a conservative.
Right, well, there you go.
No need for CV.
There you go.
Well, look, I got to thank you. Ed.
Yes,
I will pass your information on to Graham.
Of all the driving licenses under the sun as well, Niall.
Right, clean driver's license.
Yes.
Okay. And Graham, I mean, yes. I suppose a lot of this involves kind of going out, maintaining plants, delivery of plants, delivery of when you're constructing these plant walls or these living walls, as you call them. So it's all about, you know, I suppose there's a lot of handling in it as well, isn't there?
There is, but I mean, the job satisfaction is through the roof. I mean, we just fitted out a lovely job this morning and we've just been getting emails and WhatsApps from the actual client going, oh, well. You know, plants make a big difference.
Yeah.
People are blown away with plants. They have a real connection with plants. So in that part of the, you know, it's not a thankless job. In many ways, it's really positive and the feedback is superb, you know.
All right, okay. Graham.
I'm a key gardener. I love gardening.
See you here.
Is he filling his CV in as he's talking there?
Yeah, you're writing this down, Graham, are you? Would you know all your plants?
But I know all my plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would
yeah.
you? I yeah. wouldn't. I wouldn't have a clue.
Maintained them and all, yeah.
No what? Oh, you'd, but you'd know what they all look like. Would you know the names of them?
Yeah, I have a fair idea, yeah, yeah.
All right, okay.
I have a 50-foot back garden.
Oh, so, right, okay. Very yeah. good.
And it's manicured, it is.
Oh, manicured.
Yeah.
Right. Well, look, we shall pass your information on to Graeme, all right? If that's okay absolutely. With you. Is that okay
absolutely.
With you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I was saying, no, I don't lump us all in with students.
No, I'm, by the way, I didn't lump anybody in with anybody. I did say there's a lot of people genuine, and I actually mentioned the aviation genuine. Industry. I did say the aviation industry. Many people
destroyed.
Are still being badly affected.
Destroyed now.
Yeah, I know it's been destroyed. I know.
Destroyed.
I know.
Okay, no, thanks.
All right, no problem. You take it easy there, all right?
Right, no, God bless.
All right, see you then. Well, there you go, Graeme. And by the way, I have loads of texts here from people who say they'd like a job with you, right? So just that's not exactly why you were on the air today, but in saying that, Graeme is looking for people for plantup.ie, and you can apply there, or you can email them through that as well. But look, I got to thank you very much indeed, Graeme. I hope you get the staff you want, but it does highlight the issue. That's Graeme Egan from plantup.ie. Also, Jim, thank you very much indeed for raising that issue today. And I want to hear from other employers maybe who might be in that situation. Or maybe you're a young student. When I say a student, I'm not just picking on students, but primarily the majority of those still on PUP payments would be of the younger generation. And there are a lot of people, of course, of all age groups, but primarily of the younger generation, people who worked in lower paid jobs. And a lot of them are reluctant to go back to work because, let's be clear about it, the PUP payment is fairly generous. If, you know, if you were on a low paid job and only working part time, like honestly, if you were working, you know, be it in a cinema or a shop at the weekend and you're a college student and you were getting 160 quid before and now you're getting 200 or you're getting 350 or whatever it is you're getting now, so why would you want to go back to work? I get that. I understand that. But you have a social responsibility. It's not fair. You're basically taking money from the taxpayers and you have a social responsibility then to go back to work and earn your money again, although it's not as good as it was before. So, the question is quite simple. Should we get to a point now with the PUP payment realistically ending in and around September when everything opens back up again, but they will keep it going until February? There's no new applications, by the way, after July. So do you believe you should have to prove, like social welfare, that you're looking for a job to get the payment? Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. I've just been talking to Ruth, my researcher, telling me that Graeme, who was on there a few minutes ago, his website has now just crashed, which I'm delighted to hear, by the way, that people are applying for the jobs now. Let me go to Marion, who owns Vanilla Browns in Limerick. And Marion, you have the same problem.
Oh, Niall, I'm glad that you've raised this topic. It's been, it's near impossible to find staff. This last 3 months, you know, even I'd advertised before we'd opened when I knew that we would have a date in mind so that I'd get ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And no, still looking for. Now, I'm very lucky. I have some great spa girls.
Yeah.
I have.
So what do you do, by the way, in Vanilla Browns? Just because I'm a man. I wouldn't be familiar.
We've met before when you've been down in Limerick, Niall.
Oh, right. OK. So, at the Lister party, was it?
Yes,
oh, OK.
It. So we have a spa, so a lot of massage and everything like that, which is really popular because people are all for well-being at the moment.
Yeah, we're all stressed out. We need a good massage. Yeah,
but I'd say the drive has been for the last, since we opened, has been for hair because it's more a necessity.
Okay, so you do do you do the nails and the beauty?
We do the nails, we do the beauty, we have makeup artists,
okay.
We have a clinic, we have facials, so we do everything.
Okay,
so we're all
so you walk in and come out looking like a new woman or a man, if that be the case. Okay, and your problem is you can't get hairstylists. Now,
I can't get hairstylists.
Is there a problem that a lot of hairstylists during the pandemic, didn't a lot of hairstylists go out door to door, back garden jobs in people's houses? And there were maybe they were making more money doing it that way on the black market, so to speak.
Of course, and it was driven by the public because the public went and, you know, supported this as well at that time. And that's fine when everything else is closed. That's fine if that was important to you and you needed to get it done.
You needed to get your colour done because your roots were showing.
I'm not here to judge anybody on that.
Yeah.
But when the country is trying to open up, when we're trying to get back on our feet, I don't think we should be taking when we don't need to, because there's plenty of jobs. I know I'm not the only salon that's looking for stylists, but none of us can get them.
Yeah.
And the business is there. We have the public. They want to come.
I know.
To
I was only talking to a hairstylist during the week. She said, and she works for one of the major companies in Ireland. And she said, they're out the door.
Yeah. I have waiting lists. for people. Now, I have a fantastic stylist here that can do the work of three people, but it's, you know, it's not fair.
No,
you
it's
know,
not fair so to do that.
We're so used to doing
it. I know
it.
That
so
feeling, yeah.
Working at a pace.
I know. Poor old Ruth, my producer out there, she can do the work of 10 men, that woman out there. Yeah. So, Marion, you're looking for hairstylists and you can't get them. And why do you think you can't get them? It's a combination of maybe they're making money on the side themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And you getting know, a PUP payment maybe on top of that too.
I think, you know, it's... the pop and the money that they're making cash in hands from the public.
Yeah.
So it's, but I don't think that will last, Niall.
The pop will be gone in July. Or, well,
the pop
will
be gone in July, but I also think that the public wants to come into a salon experience.
Yeah.
You know,
of course.
We have a beautiful location. We're overlooking the river. The sun is shining through on me today.
Yeah.
That you can't, you know, you're going hanging over somebody's kitchen sink, you're not going to get the same experience, no. You know?
But and if your head goes on fire, you're not insured either.
Exactly. So
I remember many years ago, a good friend of mine was a hairstylist. And I was only about 17 or 18 at the time, and I was chatting to her outside the door of the hairdressers. Now, you'll know more about what happened in this situation than I would.
Yes.
But she was chatting to me, having a smoke and everything. And I looked in through the door of the salon and I said, why is there smoke coming off that woman's head? And she went running. It seemed like she was doing a colour or something. I don't know. But there was smoke coming off the woman's head.
Oh,
what was that?
Oh, that was back in the days with the bleach, and it was a bit more toxic back then. A bit more chemicals involved in the whole process. We're a bit more sophisticated these days.
Smoke coming out of our heads.
Yeah. Oh my God! I've seen that now when we blow dry to get heat on the hair to get a lovely curly blow dry. But other than that, no. Luckily, I haven't seen that.
Luckily, no. Certainly not a vanilla brown. That's for
no,
sure.
Certainly not. Certainly
okay,
not.
So you're looking for hairstylists, okay?
I'm looking for hairstylists. I've had ads through paid ads, through Instagram, through Facebook, through Indeed, and I think I had two applications, and I'm looking for somebody that has a bit of drive, you know, that has experience.
Yeah, a bit of get up and go in them.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, who's willing to, you know, be creative.
And I do think that is a telling point. And I can't even say it's a generational thing. I have young girls here who are fantastic girls.
Yeah.
You know, whereas...
So do you think people... I mean, the question we're asking today is, should people have to prove they're looking for a job to get the payment at this stage now?
Yes. I think once your industry is open, then you know there has to be a cut-off point.
Yeah, there does have to be a reason why you're still unemployed or why you're not willing to go back to work again.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong, there is some sections of hospitality where they may not be on full staffing levels yet, and I get that.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, you should have to prove that. I mean, not just get the payment.
But Niall, even, you know, if people do come back like at 20 hours, they still get plenty of supplements, as opposed to me as a business owner. I have to generate it before I can take any payment myself. That they still can get 20 hours and
of course,
get
Or if they're married, they can get a family income supplement, et cetera, et cetera. Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, I feel there has to be a point where you start to say, right, okay, I have to actually work for my and earn my money. And I do think that the country will never get... It's going to delay everything if everybody keeps taking that doesn't need to take.
Okay, well, stay there for a second because, Paul, you're a landscape gardener as well. You're having the same problem. The amount of businesses contacting us that just can't get staff.
I know.
I mean, everybody's talking about the amount of people that's out of work. But go on, Paul.
Yeah, we were having the same problem there as Graham. Like, we were having it really, really bad. Like, we would have about 20 people in the summertime.
Right, okay.
Like, we have all year round, like, in the off-season. We don't really get an off-season, but in off-season, you have maybe 10, 12. And we've been advertising for jobs since January and December last year because we anticipated it was going to happen. And we were like, right, so we need X amount. We have X amount of projects coming up because you have tenders coming in and you know when your start date's there and when your phase is there, so you know when you have to be on building sites to do a certain amount of trees, a certain amount of fence, you know.
Yeah.
And then we're like, well, we're struggling then. We go, oh my God, like, we have this big job coming up. Like, we've €1 million landscape contracts in a minute and we're like, it's understaffed.
You just can't get staff.
Yeah,
but that's what Graham said. He got, I don't know, in 4 months he got 4 CVs or something like that.
Yeah. And like every morning at the start meetings in the morning time, their foremen are getting hammered because instead of having 8 lads, it's like they 4 or 6.
Right.
Or, you know, and then if anybody doesn't throw it up or You know,
and I'm assuming, by the way, there's no major experience necessary. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, it might be a bit handy if you have it, but it's digging holes and planting trees.
Well, commercial landscaping, right, because you commercial domestic and ground making. So commercial landscaping, you have like a house and estate or a school or a factory or whatever, roadsides, whatever. Planting the trees, raking the stones off the grass.
Yeah.
Shifting the stones.
I could do that myself, yeah.
Yeah, so put down timber, to plant shrubs, spend back much. Not a big deal, right? Now, if you have a digger driver and you have a certificate for that, excellent, that's grand.
Of course, yeah.
Them, but, you know, we're just looking for basically grunt workers, basically, and we're going to pay 13, 14 euros an hour.
That's all right.
Just for that.
And you can't get anyone to take the job.
No, all you need to have was a driver's license to drive a van. And I said, if you want to take the van home, use
all right, well, okay, so, Paul, what's the name of your business?
Complete Landscaping.
Complete Landscaping.
Yeah.
And what, do you have a website?
We do have a website, Jeff, but they can send all the CVs to info@completelandscaping.ie.
Okay, info@completelandscaping.ie. Now, Marion, where can people send CVs if they want to work in Vanilla Brown?
Yeah, to me, and do you know what? They don't even need to send a CV. They can just call me, but they can send it to me, Marion.
Oh, don't be saying that after being on the radio. Your phone won't stop ringing.
I know, hopefully. Marion@vanillabrowns.com. And the website is www.vanillabrowns.com. And they can always always apply, you know. But I know it's not typical for stylists. To have CVs, so, you know, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, just want to get... I think we're all on the same page here today. Nobody's having a barony with anybody. We just want to get people back to work and people who want to get back to work. But there's the problem is, Paul, just getting back to what I said earlier on, the PUP payment, I mean, this week we've 285,000 people claiming a PUP payment. That's 84 million euro of taxpayers' money, right? Now, don't get me wrong, there are sectors not back at work yet. There's those in entertainment, those in aviation, some of the sectors of hospitality. So there are people still not back to work yet. But there are people who should be back in work, and they're not.
Absolutely. I had last year, just, you know, Corona really started taking hold in, like, just the middle of the summer.
Jeez, I haven't heard Corona in about 12 months. The COVID, you mean? In Ireland, we just call it the COVID.
Two of my lads came up to me and asked, could I put them on the COVID payment and give up their job?
Yeah.
I was just like, no.
Can I give up the job and go on the payment?
They said, okay, we don't come in on the Monday. I said, don't.
That's dreadful.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see with lazy people or people who are self-entitled thinking, ah, sure, if I'm earning 400 quid, I could get 350 for nothing and stay at home and watch the telly. You know what I mean?
But Niall, as well, you know what? I do think it plays into people's anxiety, and when people haven't... I don't think it's good for people to
You need a purpose.
Home.
You need a purpose.
You need a purpose. You need to be able to get dressed, to get showered, to get out in the day.
Yeah.
And I think if you do this long enough, you're nearly afraid to come outside the door. You just live in this little bubble, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy for anybody.
Okay, if anybody wants the jobs, vanillabrowns.ie or .com, should I say, or contact Marion at vanillabrowns.com. And Paul is Complete Landscaping. What was it again? .ie, was it info@completelandscaping.ie? Was
that's
that it?
Okay. And Niall, we're looking for commercial landscapers.
Okay.
We're looking for not maintenance, commercial landscapers, lads that can plant trees, work on sites.
I could do that. I could do that.
Yeah.
All right, listen, thanks very much indeed, guys and girls. Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Do you think we should take this more seriously? When I say take it more seriously, we haven't really been taking it seriously. And by the way, I'm okay with that. Up to now, we haven't. And I'm okay that there wasn't a stringent means testing or stringent questioning around PUP payment, because nobody asked for this, you know, the pandemic. Nobody asked to be out of a job. We all understand that. We get that. But we're now at a point where, you know, and I hate to use the cliches the government used, but brighter days are ahead. You know, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've even had Norway, the Ministry of Health in Norway there recently announcing the end of the pandemic. So we don't know yet, but all to play for in the second half, as they say. But it certainly looks like over the next few months, the country will be getting back to some level of normality. So is it time we, even though the PUP payment will last till February, they're leaving it in till February for those who have still been affected by the business, because obviously aviation most likely will be the last to recover from this. So the question is, should people have to prove they've looked for a job or taken the job, their own job, back again? Or, for example, if you were in a particular shop that didn't reopen because, sadly, during the pandemic, they couldn't afford to reopen again. Maybe they just went out of business. and you're sitting at home, well, you should be looking for another job. I believe there's shopping centres around Dublin alone. I can't count for the rest of the country because I haven't been there. But in Dublin, the shopping centres who cannot get workers. They just cannot get staff. So if you've been offered a job and you haven't taken it, should you be cut off? In other words, should they check, just like they do with social welfare, that people are looking for jobs before they get the PUP payment? All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. Number's 087-188-0008. Angela, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you? I'm livid.
Oh, you're livid?
Yeah.
Why are you livid?
I'm livid.
Why?
Just because, like, if you're offered your job back, go in and get your... Go in and do your job.
It's not. It's easier said than done. Because
it's not.
No. I agree with you. But I'm okay. But what I'm saying is, I know of people, particularly students, and I don't want to be bashing students because they're great people, yeah, most of them, right? Okay?
Yeah.
But they're getting 200 or 350, whatever it is, on a PUP payment. And they're working, yeah, and they were before the COVID, they were getting 140 in their job for weekend work. Yeah. Now they're making more money than they were when they were working. And now their business is back open again and they don't want to go back to work. Because they're making more money on the COVID.
I think what should be done is every employer out there should turn around and give a list of names of who they have offered their jobs back to. And if they have refused to take their job back, the PUP is taken off them and throw them onto the dole.
But they can't, well, if they're students, they can't go on the dole.
Well,
here's the whole problem, right? That students couldn't claim the dole in this country anyway. And rightly so. You're in college. You're in full-time education, right?
Yeah.
You're a dependent of your parents, right? Or whoever you're living with. So you're not entitled to the dole unless you're not in full-time education. And even then, you're only entitled to 100 quid up to the age of 24. So they were never going to get that amount of money from the Department of Social Welfare. Now they're getting it with no questions asked. Because you've got to understand, the PUP payment is very different to the dole. The dole, you have to go to a whole litany of forms and all sorts of applications.
You have to sign up. But you know what this would make them do now? It'd make them go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. Like, you know,
they just have to they just have to take the hit. They've been used, and I get it. They're used to the money. You know, when you get used to money, and then someone turns around and says, "Well, I'm sorry, you know, you're not going to get it anymore."
But you know why it is, and it just annoys me. Like, let's say my partner now, he works in a restaurant, and they were screaming out for staff last weekend, screaming out for staff. Because staff wouldn't come back. And like, he's worked the whole way through with takeaways and all that. So he's gone in. Now, he didn't have to. They asked him and he said, yeah, because he got off his backside and went into work.
Here's a question, right? Yeah. Let's say I'm a guitar player in a wedding band, right?
Right.
Okay, so I'm out of work at the moment because there's no guitar players in wedding. There's no wedding bands at the moment, right? There may be in the next coming months, right?
Yeah.
And I'm on a PUP payment of 350.
Yeah.
And around the corner, a restaurant opens and they're looking for staff. But I'm not going to apply for that because I'm a guitar player. And why would I want to be working at a restaurant serving tables? Am I wrong? Or am I right to stick to my principles and say, no, I'm going to keep taking the 350 until they let me go back playing my guitar again?
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
So I should have to go and take the job in the restaurant or reskill and do something different?
I'm not saying you have to. That's a different scenario.
I'm only asking because that is a genuine scenario that's out there. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is. It is a genuine scenario. But yeah, I think you should go and, you know, get off your backside and go.
Is that fair? I know there were Catherine Murphy was kind of got a bit of backlash when she said last year that people in entertainment were just going to have to, singers and artists would have to reskill and do something different because obviously that industry will take longer to come back. Is it fair to say that to somebody who's worked all their life?
Absolutely not. We all have to reskill. You know, we all have to do. I don't know how many different jobs in my life, you know. And if I can't get a job in something, I look for it in something else. So why do you feel because you're in a band or you're, you know,
in aviation maybe, yeah, or whatever, yeah.
Why do you feel that you're entitled to wait around, you know, for your job to come back?
Well, they'll argue that they're in that situation through no fault of their own.
Well, so is everyone else. So are the businesses. The businesses are in that through no fault of their own. But what's maddening me more is that, like that poor woman saying she can't get her hairdressers back.
Oh, she's. I mean, I know I've talked to Mary for Vanilla Brown and she's in a really bad way there. When I say in a bad way, she needs the staff. Her business needs... And she could be, you know, doing so much better. Her business could be doing so much better. They could take more appointments if she could just get the bloody hairstylists.
But that's what I'm saying. She's obviously hired back the hairstylists that she wants to hire back, the ones that were there before.
Yeah.
And if they turn around and say, no, I'm not going back yet.
That's not always the case. I mean, some people might have got jobs elsewhere as well. But there are, I'm sure there are hairstylists out there at the moment who are cutting people's hair on the side for cash and getting a PUP payment.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why. So my whole thing is, if you have been offered your job back and you are not working somewhere else, cut them.
All right, listen, on that note, I'm going to have to cut you, Angela, because I'm running out of time. Thank you very much indeed. Loads of people, by the way, texting in. The number is 087-188-0008. Now, anybody who gets their job offered back and doesn't go back to work should be reported to the Department of Social Welfare. Well, now, it's not the Department of Social Welfare that paid the PUP payment, by the way. It's the Revenue Commissioners as such that are paying a particular payment, although it is administrated by the Department of Social Welfare. But I get the point you're making. Yes, at this stage, we need to probably look at who is getting it. And again, I say to all the people who should deservingly get the payment, you should continue to get it. Of course you should. If your sector is not open, or indeed your job is not there anymore, of course you could continue to get it. But there are many people now taking advantage of it. Primarily, it seems to be, according to the evidence, that they're the cohort of people between 18 and 30 years of age who would have been lower paid in college, maybe part-time jobs. And now there are lots of part-time jobs available. There are people screaming out for staff. And they just can't get workers because they're on PUP payments and they don't want to. Sure, look, why would you want to give me 400 quid? I can get 350 for doing nothing. Why would I want to do that for? Now, Angela, stay there. You're going to get a slap here now. Okay. Breedy, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids.
Hello,
you doing?
Niall. How are you today?
I'm good, Breedy. Now, you took a little bit of issue when I asked Angela the question about, you know, people who are in sectors who are badly affected and, you know, should they have to reskill? Now, I know Catherine Murphy suggested last year, got a bit of a backlash for it in relation to entertainers and singers, but you're in the aviation industry.
I am, yeah.
Which has been very badly hit.
Oh,
we all know that.
Decimated.
Now, even if, let's just say, we're all back to normal again by November, December, right?
Yeah.
The aviation industry is still going to be very damaged. Scheduled flights that we spent years, I suppose, building up will take a long time to come back again. So there is no doubt there will be jobs lost in that industry.
Yeah.
Okay, but Angela's argument is, well, I'm sorry, Breeda, you need to reskill and work somewhere else.
But the thing that Angela probably doesn't understand is that we're on a certain percentage of pay. So we have a certain percentage of a roster to work off every month. So I don't know what my roster is till it comes out a couple of weeks before the current roster runs out. So how do I go to another employer and say to them, oh, yeah, like I'll work at anything. I have done multiple jobs over my years, so I'm not afraid of work. I'm not afraid of anything.
And what, by the way, what are you, remind me again, what are you doing in aviation at the moment? You're on the
cabin crew.
You're cabin crew. You're on the planes, yeah.
Okay. But like I don't know too many employers that you go in and say, yeah, I'd love the job, but you'll have to work around my current roster because I'm still employed. I still have a certain amount of flights and things to do, or I'm on standby or whatever. So I have to be here on call. I can't be in another job.
Yeah, but Angela's argument, I don't want to put words in her mouth, I'm sure, is going to be, well, then, unfortunately, that's not a viable job for you anymore. You're going to look for a different job.
No, I've put a lot of years into this job. I've worked hard to get to where I am in the job. And it will come back. It's not my fault this job isn't where it should be at the moment. That's the government's fault. Like, open up the bloody aviation. Let people get onto flights. Let people go away.
The government will argue there's public health reasons for not doing that yet. And
this has been their argument all through the whole thing. And there has never been more than 2% of...
Okay. There's no point in getting into that argument.
No,
because we are where we are and we're at the point we're at now. But Angela, do you get what Breed is saying? Like a singer or like an artist or like somebody who works in aviation, and those industries are obviously affected long term, it seems, at the moment. Why should she have to reskill when basically it wasn't her fault that her job is in jeopardy? It's the state's fault.
But that is the same with every single occupation in the world. These things happen. It's life. There was
Hang on, Breda. I'll let you respond to her.
Okay.
You know, like, there are plenty of people out there who can't go back to their jobs because the companies have closed down. And, Bree, do you know yourself, they're after pulling a lot from, let's say, Shannon. to do with Aer Lingus and Ryanair. They've pulled a lot of flights out. There are a lot of people out there that aren't working at the moment. They're going to have to reskill. And you said that you're working at the moment, so that's fine.
Well, it's not fine. But she's not getting the work she should be getting.
But what happens if your airline or your job goes in the morning?
If it goes in the morning, then I get another job. The fact that I wouldn't go out and I'd go out and sweep the streets if I have to make money to pay my bills and stuff. But the problem is, I'm in a job that I'm on a certain percentage. I'm not going to say what it is, and I'm barely limping from paycheck to paycheck, right? But I can't go out and ask some employer to give me a job, a part-time job, but to work it around my current job. And I'm not giving up my job because it will bounce back and it will come back. I feel that you're very black and white about, not everybody wants to sit at home and twiddle their thumbs, because I certainly don't. Can't wait to get back full time.
Rita, I'm not saying that I wrote, but what has happened in the past couple of weeks is it's very obvious that there are a lot of people out there who want to sit at home and twiddle their thumbs.
Well, then cut off their payments.
That's what I said.
Yes,
off the
payments. But I also found
the
thing about it is, if you have to wait around for that job, that's fine once you're getting your hours. But if it was a thing that you were sitting at home waiting around for a job, if you don't know it's going to be there, then that's wrong. That's wrong.
But I know it's going to be there.
I suppose, Brita, what she's saying is the aviation industry and the entertainment industry, because, of course, we've got numerous emails from people who work in the Wedding Band Association, et cetera, their jobs have been badly affected because they don't know when live music will be available. Yeah, we've seen the kind of test gig the other night, although I don't think that was really a test gig. Anyway, we've seen all that. And it doesn't look like those industries will come back immediately. And even when they do come back, I think there's a bit of social conditioning has gone on over the last 15 months where a lot of people might do staycations. You know, they might not be travelling away to Portugal and Spain. There are people who still will have fear of travelling, Brita. So the industry has been damaged irreparably, and it could take years for the confidence to build back up in your industry. So there is no doubt there'll be casualties to that. And, you know, and people...
There have been casualties already.
Absolutely.
That's the sad thing about it.
Oh, there has. And by the way, and what Angela's saying is, those casualties are those people who are part of that casualty, who are on very, you know, a small percentage of their previous work. You know, Brita, as you're saying, well, look, we can't afford to keep giving them money. They need to go out and just get another job.
So we'll all just resign from our positions and just go and get
That's
another job.
That's not what I'm saying, Brita. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is, if the job is gone, at the moment, let's say, your job, or an air hostess job, mightn't be back for a year, right? So for that year, should the government have to keep paying her, or should she go out and get another job until her job is back?
But my job isn't fully back, but I'm still working a certain percentage every month. So, like, what I'm saying to you is, I can't go to another employer and say to them, oh, will you give me a job working around the current job's roster? Like, that's not logical. It's just people are not going.
Yeah, you wouldn't. I mean, Angela, you wouldn't expect her to give up. Let's say, for argument's sake, she's doing 20% of what she used to do, or 30% of what she used to do. You wouldn't expect her just to hand in her notice tomorrow and go work in, you know, McDonald's or go work in a restaurant or something, would you?
No, but that's where what I'm saying is taken totally out of context. I am talking about somebody whose job is not going to come back, and they have to reskill, or somebody's job who is not going to be there for a year, that they should go out again.
Okay.
Like,
I get what you're saying, and I do get what Brita's saying. And by the way, Brita, you know, you have my empathy, and all those people in sectors who are still affected, you have my empathy and my understanding. I do get it. I don't necessarily agree with everything Angela said. And I think it's very difficult for somebody who might be a chef, or somebody who might be a very skilled person, to turn around and say, well, listen, you've got to go and learn to do something else instead. You know, that's easier said than done sometimes. And I get that. You know, I do get it. People have a passion for their own industries.
Yeah, and I love my job. And I mean, I if you'd have told me April 12 months ago I'd still be in this situation, I would have said, absolutely not. I mean, it's heartbreaking. And I mean, that's probably the best way to describe it.
And Brita, can I just say, without you, I don't get to go anywhere. So I do appreciate what you do.
Nobody's going to tell you to put your seatbelt on if it wasn't for Breeda.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to do that entertaining little bit at the start where they do point out the exits and all the rest.
Yeah. Well, Breeda,
does anybody, with the greatest respect, does anybody actually look at what you're doing anymore, Breeda, when
I
you do that?
Do. Oh, they do.
We pretend to. We're kind of unconsciously.
Niall, I think I have that voice that people kind of go, oh, well, we better listen for a minute.
The exits are here. You have a light and a whistle. I've often wondered, by the way, in relation to the light and the whistle, right, on your life jacket, okay? I have this vision. I remember having a dream once that the plane crashes in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and you're there with your light and your whistle. And you're the only survivor. You're not going to make it, unfortunately. Why are you often wondering?
Never know.
I remember Helena saying to me one day, why wouldn't they give you parachutes instead of life jackets? Because most air accidents happen over land and not sea.
Because it adds to the weight of the plane.
Exactly. Now you have it, Angela.
There you go. Thank you. The best of luck to both of you. And Breeda, and I wish you well and all your colleagues, Breeda, all right?
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Leda.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.